GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. GHRT and the countdown to our next election, and Betsy Sweet, candidate for U.S. Senate. Gee, she is, I don't know if she's in Hollowell this morning. She might be. She's on line three. You can ask her.
Yeah. Hi, Betsy. Where are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I'm in Hollowell this morning.
Oh, your phone is breaking up just a little bit on us. Let's hope for the best in a conversation with you. How goes the campaign?
It's been great. We are on town hall number 20. We are talking to people in every corner of the state just about what's going on in their lives, what they're looking for, the challenges they have, and also really what their dreams are, what their hopes are. And we are just seeing an amazing response. People are really ready for change in this race. And we're also really excited at the number of young people who are coming into this campaign who are just really looking for something very different and are ready to be engaged, which is really exciting to us.
Well, many people don't need to be introduced to you because we remember you from a previous gubernatorial election and all of the work that you've done. Right now, you have to separate yourself from the others. I'm counting four total. I might miss somebody along the way, but how do you separate yourself from the rest of the field?
Well, I think there are four of us now. And the difference is, one, that I've run a statewide race, and someone just told me the other day, which I didn't know, that except for Paul LePage, no candidate in Maine has run for a statewide office and won without doing it and losing first. And I've already checked that box. So, but, you know, I am someone who is, I believe in healthcare coverage for everybody through the Medicare for All system. I'm strong on the Green New Deal. And I have been working for 37 years in this state, making sure that things get done for regular Mainers, everyday Mainers whose lives are going to be changed. Like, you know, I wrote the first Family Medical Leave Act in the country. I've gotten the most, I've gotten domestic violence and sexual assault money passed, you know, many times over the last 20 years. Worked on every single budget in the state of Maine for the last 37 years to make sure that our regular voices are heard. Because, you know, politics is being so taken over by special interests and big money. And, you know, we aren't doing it that way. You know, I ran for governor as a clean elections candidate and was the only Democrat to do so. And I helped write that bill back in 1996. And I'm just so tired of the influence of special interests and corporate PACs. And, you know, one thing that's interesting is, you know, now it's popular to say I'm not going to take corporate PAC money. So some people are saying it, you know, everyone's saying it now, but there's lots of loopholes and ways to get around that. And people who have built their careers on taking corporate PAC money, as opposed to me, who's been fighting this since 1996.
A listener is under the impression, sending a text message to us, that you are for Medicaid for all. I don't know if that is the case, but they ask if that is indeed the case. How do we possibly pay for it?
Okay, great. So it's Medicare for all, and yes, I am. And so let me just say what that means, because, you know, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So what we are looking at right now is we are looking at a system with no deductibles, no premiums. You get eye care, dental, vision, and long-term care paid for. And the way that we do it, if we take right now, for every dollar that you and I spend on healthcare, 30 cents of that dollar goes to corporate, to profits, goes right into somebody's pocket. The other 30 cents is paperwork that we have to fill out for the insurance company. So between you and me and our doctors, there's this huge layer of insurance companies. And what this does is it takes that out. And Medicare for All, even the most conservative groups who study this, say that Medicare for All saves money. The real question is, how can we afford not to do it? You know, how is it possible that in this, we are the only industrialized nation in the world that doesn't provide health care coverage for our people? And to me, the only reason we don't do it is because the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance industries that are making tons of money off of this are lining the pockets of politicians. And that's what's happening. And so really, I met a woman about a month ago, and she had a cancer diagnosis. And so I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And so they had laid out her whole prognosis for her, what was going to happen. And she said, I said, well, good luck with that. And she said, oh, Betsy, I'm not doing it. And I said, what? She said, I'm not doing it. I said, why? She said, because I will not spend the rest of my days, whether it's 2 days or 20 days or 20 years, fighting with insurance companies, wondering if I can afford my medication, if I can afford that next PET scan. I just am not going to do it, so I'm going to live in peace. Now, to me, that's not just a policy question. That's a question of who we are. Who are we as Mainers, as Americans, that we would let someone not get the treatment they need because they can't afford it or they're afraid of going bankrupt? That's just not right. You know, so many bankruptcies are caused by health care. That's not right when we have the capacity to do it.
Betsy, I might point out to you, Senator Collins lost her first campaign for governor, too, so you're in good company.
I know, right. No, everybody. I mean, everybody's done it, so yeah.
Everybody's tried that. Listen, we know your record quite well. You've been involved in, you're a director of the Women's Lobby, the Maine Commission for Women. If you're successful through the primary and you were elected senator, that puts you on the international stage. Are you paying any attention to what's going on in Washington at the moment?
Absolutely. I think that, first of all, we have to get back. I think Congress has to get back to playing their rightful role in foreign policy. I think they've abdicated their responsibility. You know, I think they have let the president, whether it's this president or Obama, I think they've allowed the presidency to do much more one-person foreign policy, and they have abdicated their role. And so I think one thing is that we have to get back to taking our role. Secondly, we have to look at where we are involved and why we are involved. There are so many places in which we have been involved, you know, in this war on terror, places where we are involved in armed conflicts on both sides of a civil conflict or one side of a civil conflict. And I think that we have lost our position as a democratic moral high ground, if you will, by having someone in the White House who is conducting our foreign policy through tweets and Twitter. I mean, that is just I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. That cannot seem like that's a rational foreign policy. We have stepped away from diplomacy. We have stepped away. We don't even have ambassadors in many, many countries still. My daughter just got home from Tanzania where she was doing a service project. We still don't have an ambassador to Tanzania. So guess what's happening? China is in Tanzania building roads and bridges and doing all this incredible infrastructure work for them, in exchange for extracting their minerals and all the natural resources that they have. You know, we have lost our humanitarian aid policy, we've lost our diplomacy, and Congress has not been an equal partner in our foreign policy. So I think that's where I would start.
How do you feel about seeing your face on box trucks driving around the state?
I love free advertising. I said, oh, my mother would be so proud.
Is that really the GOP trying to draw a line between you and Sarah Gideon so you'll win and Gideon won't, and one of you is better suited to challenge Collins?
Hey, if I knew the motives of the Republican National Committee, I'd be doing something else for work. I don't know what they were trying to do. But, you know, to me, this is exactly what's wrong with politics today. It has become this chess game full of big money, of people trying to strategically, you know, oh, if I say this to that person or if we do this, it'll move that person. All we need to do is be who we are, say what we believe in, talk about the values that people have, and see if we align with the values of the people of Maine. The rest of this stuff is bull. You know, and it's just, it's why people are so cynical about politics. It's why young people have stayed away from politics. We have to get in and say, look, we're in trouble, folks. We're in trouble in terms of issues and the things that face us every day. We're in trouble in terms of our very democracy crumbling right before our eyes. And, you know, it's not about billboards and sound bites and who can get the best consultant to write the worst, you know, the best negative ad against their opponent in 20 seconds. This is about coming together and saying, hey, we have got to use our smarts, and we are wicked smart here in Maine, and figure out how are we going to get to the year 2020, 2030 without the planet burning up? How are we going to make sure that people can pay their property taxes and send their kid to school and not be in debt up to their ears? You know, we have got to say, how do we provide health care? How do we get universal pre-K for our kids? You know, there are so many issues. And when we spend our time going back and forth about this baloney, about billboards and negative ads, it's a real disservice to, to the people of the state, but it's also a disservice to democracy. And I think that's what we bring to this, is we're not engaging in that kind of baloney. We are just going out to people and talking with them and saying, listen, we got to get to work here, because we got some big issues that we need to address, and we need some truth tellers in Washington. You know, we can't say one thing in Maine and another thing in Washington, do another thing in Washington. You know, people are getting too smart for that. So I think that we need to actually just stop all this craziness. I would love to see forums where we just say, okay, here's where we stand. Here's how we want to do it. What do you think? Can we do it better? Do you have a better idea? And then that's what democracy is about. This gamesmanship and this, you know, this, you guys, this race, I know I sound like I'm very passionate, but I am. People in Washington, those pundits in Washington, are saying that this race, the Susan Collins race, all seven, everybody's, you know, everybody's all said and done, is going to cost between $100 and $150 million. That's obscene. We only have 1.3 million people in the state, and only 850,000 of them can vote. That's disgusting. Think of what we could do. I'd love your listeners to text in. What do they think we could do with $150 million in Maine, besides spend it on negative ads and political consultants in Washington? Because, you know, that's not helping anybody. So I put forward a proposal that does three things. It overturns Citizens United, you know, the court case that said corporations could spend all they wanted on elections. So it undoes that. It creates a clean election system like we have here in Maine, like I ran for governor for federal races. And the third thing it does, and you guys are going to like this, I think, it calls for a 12-week election cycle. Because nobody in Maine, nobody needs to hear this stuff for 2 years. The only people who benefit are the people, you know, the big consultants making big money.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.